All right. Well, the subject I wanted to bring forward today is found in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And it's about the sower sowing the word. And specifically, I'd like to break it down into the four categories he describes and help us locate ourselves and maybe people we are trying to help. In regards to healing, receiving the word in regard to healing, receiving the word in regard to salvation or changing our lives, changing their lives. And so we'll go through, starting with Matthew 13, verse 3, and kind of look. You guys know the intro to this. You've probably, if you've been around here, I will mention and give credit where credit's due. A lot of the inspiration came from this book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. This yellow writing on black background with pink outlines kind of stands out a little bit. And this is chapter 12 called God's Garden. Has some principles I won't be discussing, but it does have really good principles based on this chapter. Also, Kenneth E. Hagin did a series entitled Ye Are God's Garden based off of that chapter, and then he expounds on it in a different direction as well. And that's a real blessing. That's in a CD form, probably available at rhema.org. I just wanted you guys to know that and give credit to that's. It really meant a lot to me hearing that teaching, as well as this ministry has taught out of Mark 4 quite a bit. Pastors Dwayne and Mary Hansen have taught on this subject quite a bit. And so there's a lot to be gleaned from these verses. We'll be dividing up the separate categories of where this seed was sown. And so I'd like to begin with what I call category one, with the wayside. The wayside. And we'll open up with this parable here in verse 3. Behold, a sower went out to sow, Jesus said. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. Actually, verse 4. I said verse 3. Let's start with verse 4. And verse 19. And we're going to list some traits that are found in each of these accounts in Mark 4 and Luke 8 about the wayside. First, we notice in Matthew 13, it's a wayside. So it's off the track that the seed was intended, the wayside. We see that birds devoured it. Birds came and devoured it. So birds came, devoured. And then we've got, so that's what verse 4, what we get out of that from verse 4. And then we're going to read a parallel passage to that within the same chapter where Jesus is explaining what that is. So that's verse 19 of chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. So I'm kind of muddling through here so we get the basics of each of these, and we're going to see some common traits associated with these. When anyone hears the word of kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes. So we've got they hear, they don't understand, and then the wicked one comes. And what does it say the wicked one does? Devours. Okay, so then we've got devours. Just like the birds. So you can kind of see these are related. So that's Matthew 13. So we know this first category of people, wayside, birds came, devoured. This is the word that's sown. These are the results of this type of listening, this type of hearing. The birds came and devoured. This person lacks understanding. And we're doing this to locate ourselves and those around us. We can help them get healed. We can help ourselves get healed. And any of us in any given area of our life may be in this category. In another area, we may be in a different category. We may be further along. We may be bearing fruit. But if we can locate ourselves, it'll help us get to the next phase. And we'll head towards that, towards the solution later. But right now, we just want to locate and define each of these traits. So that's Matthew 13. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, and see what he says about this same situation. He says, some seed fell by the wayside. So we've got the wayside again. And then what does it say? Will someone shout it out? Oh, sorry. Mark 4, verse 4. Mark 4, verse 4. Yep, that's right. Mark 4, verse 4. Wayside, birds devoured, right? What else does it say? Birds devoured. Okay, then we'll go down. That's it for that verse as far as this category. Let's go down to what Jesus said later when he's explaining the verse. That's Mark 4, verse 15. So Mark 4, verse 15. And you can, if you can hold your place in Matthew 3, Mark 4, and Luke 8, we'll be paging between these. I put some sticky notes in my Bible, so I'm getting there quicker. Sorry for my impatience as you turn your pages here. And then we go, all right, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown. So we've got wayside again. Wayside. Word sown. Satan. Immediately takes. And that would be verse 15. We've got Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown. Satan immediately takes the word. So then we see some commonality here. You see some shared traits here. And because they all heard the same story. But it's neat to see how each of them tell it. Luke especially uses some different words, even in the Greek, which will be fun. Maybe we'll talk about some of that later. But Luke 8, verse 5. Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. When you're there, raise your hand when you're there, maybe. Okay. Luke 8, 5. Thanks. Wayside, trampled down, birds devoured. Wayside, trampled, birds devoured. Wayside, trampled, birds devoured. So we've got the wayside, trampled, birds devoured. And then in verse 12 of the same chapter of Luke 8, verse 12, those by the wayside, Jesus explaining what he had given in a parable. He's explaining to the disciples what he meant by that. Excuse me. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, once again, those by the wayside, devil comes. What else does he say? In verse... takes away. Does it say immediately in this chapter? Just says takes away. Takes away the word. And he prevents salvation and healing. Right? He prevents salvation. I'm paraphrasing, of course, for the sake of kind of keeping some of these forms in the same form. Okay. So then we have category one listed in three accounts in the gospel, almost identical. We can really locate that. We can really understand that. And we can say, why is Jesus saying this over and over? Why do three different followers of Christ, being moved by the Holy Spirit to write this, write it all the same? Obviously, there's an important message to get across. There's important things to see here. Wayside, wayside, wayside. This was not the seed's intended purpose. It's cast somewhere. It's not the seed's intended purpose. It's to be treated this way. Birds came, devoured. They hear, they don't understand. Satan's immediately able to take the word out. That's one category. It's kind of a hopeless looking situation, isn't it? It doesn't look very good. But we probably all know people and situations in our lives when we heard the word, but immediately didn't understand it at different phases in our life. And that's probably where most of the world is that doesn't know Christ and that hasn't heard very much about him. They're in that category. And there is hope for that category, but we'll get to that later. Let's identify the second category. Let's find out what that is in Matthew 13. Does this help, or for the sake of time, does this slow down a little bit? Is this too cumbersome, writing it up like this, or is it nice to see it paralleled? Does it help? Okay, then let's continue with category two. down here, if I can write to the side here. Category 2, for lack of a better word, I came up with Category 2. This is the wayside. I have my little expressions I use for these. I call this deceived and devoured. Deceived and devoured. D&D instead of TNT traditions and stuff. D&D, deceived and devoured. I'd call that category just my own little name for it, but you're welcome to borrow it. So deceived and devoured. In Category 2, we can call stony places. Sounds like a pretty place to visit on the Appalachian Trail, but it's not. Not in this context. Stony places. And we'll do again Matthew 13, Mark 4. I would title this message, if you locate your state, or you could say, you know, help somebody. Help somebody else locate their state. If there were a title for an overall idea, it would be Good Ground, but we'll get to that later, how to progress to good ground. Matthew 13 once again. I cheated and put sticky notes on these, like I said. All right, let's look at what Matthew 13, then we'll be looking in verses 5 and 20 to define this second category. I know this might be kind of cumbersome here getting through all these, but we'll see some similarities here. 5. Some fell on stony places, not much earth, where there was not much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth. No depth. So we've got stony, not much earth, or soil. We'll put soil. What was it? They lack depth. Lacks depth. No depth of earth, and they immediately sprang up. I should put that first up here. They immediately sprang up. Immediately sprang. It's pretty interesting. It's an odd thing that a plant will do, that it will spring up first thing on a stony place, rocky soil, without much depth. It's an interesting thing that plants do spring up. They get that important nutrition. But as we'll see later, that's not enough. He explains what that means in another gospel. So we've got immediately sprang. And then we've got verse 20. Let's see how Jesus describes this situation in life, or this person, or this... I'll quote here chapter 12, just to kind of set the tone for this again. In F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer, he opens with 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. I did the planting, Apollos did the watering, but it was God who made the seed grow. You are God's field to be planted. King James English says, ye are God's husbandry. Another verse says, you are God's garden. So we are God's field, and that's what we get to decide. We'll find this out later, possibly. But we'll get to decide what kind of garden we are, what kind of ground we are, which is really neat. If it were up to God, he would say a lot more about the sower. He doesn't say very much about the sower, except in the first verse of each of these accounts. He doesn't say much about the sower. There's a reason for that. After the sower sows, it's up to us what kind of ground we are. We get to choose in life, despite some teaching out there. We get to choose in life what kind of ground we're going to be. That's an important point to keep in mind. If you need that scripture reference again about being God's garden, some translations also say you're God's farm. Some people have translated it that way. That's 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. Okay, so now we're in Matthew 13, talking about stony places. We're going to go to verse 20. He says, he received the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word. So he receives seed, hears word, receive the seed, hears the word. And what else does it say? Who hears the word, received on stony places. Okay, on stony places again. So it repeats that. On stony places, hears the word. And then what else? Immediately receives it with joy. Okay, so we'll put immediate joy. You ever have that happen to you? You get the word, immediate joy, symptoms come, a bill comes in the mail, you lose your joy. We've all been in category two. That's an easy one. I'd say most Christians are probably in categories two through four. Most Christians are. That's probably pretty accurate. Most of us are in that. And we'll see what we can do to get out of one type of garden and produce some depth. So I call this the depth deficit. It's kind of a weird thing. They lack depth, which is kind of a weird because depth is usually thought of being low. And I'm saying deficit, which is also a low. So it's a weird visual thing, but I call it depth deficit or lacks depth. This is the shallow category. Stony places, shallow, easy come, easy go, Mick Christian, taco health. Those are some other phrases I came up with. Anyway, because it's quick, it's fast. It's, yay, look what the word says. But these folks don't bear fruit either. Their results are not much better than category one, which is sad because category one usually falls in people that really have a great amount of ignorance about the word. Can you have an amount of ignorance? Or they lack understanding. So there's a lack of understanding in the first category that really defines that group. And so the Satan's able to take. So it's kind of sad that these have the same results because these folks are happy. They're easily excited. You know, they're happy, but it doesn't bear much fruit either. All right, let's look at Mark 4 and get Mark's account. All right, Mark 4 would be verses 5 and 16. Okay, so raise your hand when you're there again, if you would. Thanks, Carol, thanks. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 6. Well, verse 5 and 16. Some fell on stony ground, not much earth, immediately sprang up, stony, not much earth or soil, immediately sprang up. Sorry for the quick writing there, but we'll get the idea. Stony, not much earth, immediately sprang up. And it says again, what does it say about depth? No depth. You may be in one area of this, you know, in any area of your life, you may lack depth of knowledge of the Word of God. It might not be filled up in your heart. There are some quick fixes to that, but steady fixes. The farming, one guy told me, I used to work for a farmer, a cattle farm, and he also taught me how to get rid of weeds over time. And I would bush hog his thistles, the thistles in his field, his cow fields. I would bush hog them. That's a big giant mower towed by a tractor. It's a big blade. So I would tow that blade on his thistles. And all I had to do was every summer, I'd go out there and for about 12 hours just mow the whole field. And it would cut down the thistles. And he said, as long as you get them before they go to seed, every year there's going to be less and less thistles. He said, as long as you get them before they go to seed. He said, everything in farming is timing. It's timing. A lot of times we want the quick mix solutions, we want the fast food answers in our culture today. And it's not beneficial. It doesn't produce depth. It doesn't produce sound character. We won't see the fruit in our bodies of healing. We won't see the solidity in our finances that we desire. All these things take time, and it's a real blessing to take that time. And that's farming. And it's so neat that in the book, Christ the Healer, chapter 12, he highlights the fact that you are God's garden, you are God's farm, you are his husbandry. It's nice that we're his as well. That's a point worth mentioning. We are his. We belong to him. Our garden, the garden of our heart, belongs to God, and we are stewards over it. So back to the subject here, Mark 4. Let's look at verse 16. Mark 4, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So we'll do stony ground, they hear the word, immediate gladness. So we've got that again, it's a mantra. Stony ground, receive word, immediate gladness. Immediate immediate gladness again. All right, stony ground, receive the word. Let's see what Luke 8 says about this same category of ground, farm, husbandry, garden, this same category. Luke 8, 6 and 13. Luke 8, 6 and 13. Okay, 6 says, some fell on rock, sprang up, withered away. As soon as it sprang, it withered. Rock. As soon as it sprang, it withered. By the way, my notes for this message look almost identical to this board. So if that makes you feel sorry for me, whoop-de-doo. they look just as orderly as this, but there we go. Rock, as soon as it sprang, withered. I didn't grow up in the computer age, so at least not where I lived. And so we had got used to writing down all my thoughts, and just repeating things over and over does a lot for you. It's kind of helpful. And I make too many typos to get this done on the computer with any efficiency. I might understand even more poorly. Anyway, rock, as soon as it sprang, withered. Stony places. Rock, as soon as it sprang, it withered. And look at this. He adds in something different that the others didn't. Because it lacked moisture. Lacked moisture. That's one thing the rocky soil can't offer, because the water runs off. And it lacked moisture. You would need depth and you'd need softness to retain the seed and let it grow. You would need depth and you would need softness. Kind of sounds like depth soulishly. You would need depth of the word's knowledge, and you would need a softness. You would need humility. Kind of, you know, when we say softness in English, it bears the same. It bears resemblance to personal traits and character traits. And it's true in this case. Rock, as soon as it sprang, it withered. It lacked moisture. Is there anything else we can pull out of that verse here? Let's see, verse 13. Now let's see Jesus' explanation, verse 13 of the same thing. The rock. They hear, receive the word with joy, have no root. Okay, rock again. They hear, receive with joy, no root. No root. The rock, they hear, they receive with joy, but there's no root. There's no root. All right, let me get there here. All right, and they believe for a while, but in the time of temptation, they fall away. You know what? I missed that in the first one. Sorry. I missed that in the first one. There's immediate joy, but the other one said, but when tribulation or persecution arises, they immediately stumble. I think I got ahead of myself there. So let's go back really quickly. I don't have room on this pad for this, but let's just jot this to personal memory, or if you're taking notes, let's do this. Verse 21. It continues in Matthew 13. We'll go back to that because that's important. Endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So they stumble. We'll put stumble. Persecution, tribulation. I don't know. Maybe I can fit it on here. They stumble. So that's, and that's here worded in Mark, Matthew and Mark. Mark verse 16, Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17. What's it say there? No root, they endure for a time. No root, endure for a time. Okay, they endure for a time. No root, they endure for a time. Mark 4. Chapter 17, afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately stumble. Immediate, it's kind of odd, they get immediate joy, but they immediately stumble with any hardship. Sorry, I did not write that on there. So then we'll go, and then Luke 8. Let's see what Luke 8 says. Luke 8, verse 13 and 14. Oh, no, verse 13, who believe and for a while and in time of temptation, they believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. They fall away, believe for a while. Or I could say only a while. Because we see that there's no longevity to this group. They believe only for a while. They endure only a time. So Luke says, just to review this, because I didn't fit it on the notepad, I'm going to repeat these words really quickly. They believe for a while. In Mark 4, verse 21. No, Mark 4, yeah. No, Mark 4, verse 17. They have no root. They endure for only a time, he says. Endure only for a time. Only for a time. And then in Matthew 13, we'll read that phrase again. Endures only for a while. So that's important. That there's, when there's no depth, it endures only for a time. So write that, please, if you would, if you're taking notes. And he endures only for a time. Now let's look at category 3 here. Category 3 is among thorns. Category 3. Among thorns. All right, we got Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Mark 4. Luke 8. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8 again. And then we'll look at verse 7 of Matthew 13. Verse 7. And just let, I know we're just going over. I say that cautiously because I don't view the word as just another word. But I know we're just defining these character traits. Please bear with me and we'll get somewhere with it. But as we're going over these, think of what this means to you. Think of the scriptures that relate to these same expressions. And you've probably got some rolling around in your heart. And these will help you and bless you. Matthew 13, verse 7. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them. Among thorns. Thorns sprang up. Choked them. Matthew 13, verse 7. Then let's see Jesus describing what that means, how that relates. 13, verse 22. That'll be he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of the world and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. All right, he receives the seed. So Jesus describes this person. They receive seed. What's next? Yeah, here's the word. What else? Cares of this world. Choke. Thanks, Daniel. Choke. Choke the word. The cares of this world. Choke the word. The cares choke. 22. And it becomes unfruitful. And, oh, well, let's see, the deceitfulness of riches also. Cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. Okay, you could do cares, deceitfulness, almost like this, because they all end with chokes the word. Cares, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. The first three categories end in unfruitful. Kind of a shame. You know, just the odds. It's not good. Fortunately, we have something to do about this. Something to do with this. Something to prevent us from being that kind of garden and that type of, and having thorns choke us. And we'll talk about that soon. Mark 4, let's look at Mark 4, what he says. Mark 4, verse 7. Some seed fell among thorns. and the thorns grew up, choked it. So among thorns, thorns grew, thorns choked. Among thorns, thorns grew, thorns choked. See a pattern there? Among thorns, thorns grew, thorns choked. And what else is the result of that? Yielded no crop. Some translations say yielded no fruit. Yielded no fruit. Yielded no crop. No harvest. Not good news. Yield no fruit. Yielded no crop. Now let's look at verse 18 of the same chapter, Mark 4, 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Hear the word, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things. Hear the word. Hear the word. Okay, I'll put like this. Choking causes, colon, one. What are the three choking causes listed in this one? Worries. Yep. Worries. What's the second one? Yep. Wait. Deceitfulness of wealth. And what's the third thing that chokes it? Yeah, desires for other things. Huh? Desires for other things. So these are choking causes, we'll put a little subset under Mark 4. And we could have done that over here. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, become unfruitful. Matthew doesn't personally list desires for other things, but he may have included this idea of desires of riches in pursuing other things. Similar to, is it Matthew 6 that says, seek first God's kingdom? Yes. So it's, and don't scrounge after the things the Gentiles scrounge after. Similar idea. Let's see how Luke describes it. And becomes unfruitful. This one also, he ends with becomes unfruitful. All of them end with a lack of fruit. Just think of what this would look like if it were an orchard. That poor farmer wouldn't make any money if his trees were parallel to this, to these four categories. If he only had 25% of his trees growing and producing fruit, like we'll see in the fourth category, it would be one pathetic crop if he had an apple orchard. That would be sad. And we can determine, remember the sower is only mentioned briefly in this. He lays out the word, and it's just like the concept of the gospel being free and available to all of us, but we don't all enjoy its fruit. And we can readily see why out of these verses. It's simple. I tell people that at work when we're talking about Christianity, about following Christ, about following God, about doing God's will, it's usually simple. It doesn't mean it's easy. It takes a level of commitment. It takes a level of consistency, just like a farmer. And Pastor Mary's been sharing along those lines. It's just a true principle, and we're going to see that especially in these verses as well. Luke 8, 7. Let's go to Luke 8, 7. Fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. I like this because he throws in with it. Some of the other ones say, it's among thorns. Among thorns, thorns sprang up. And in Minnesota, I can say this, thorns sprang up with. That's all I need, right? Grammatically, in Minnesota, that's okay. Yeah, that's from your Swedish and German roots. They can say, följa med. It means come with. So that's where you guys get that, if you ever wondered. There you go. I found that out because I married a Swede. There we go. Among thorns sprang up with. I'm just going to leave it like that. That's my homage, my homage to Minnesota. All right. Thorns sprang up with it, choked it. Choked it, right? Verse 7, does it say that? Yeah, choked it. Choked it. Cool. Choked it. Not so cool. All right, then let's look at verse 14. We're all at different stages. Like I said, again, I'll repeat that. In different areas, We're at different categories. You know, in finances, we may be really solid. We may be steadily putting away funds. We may be giving just a huge percentage of our income, just able to donate to missions. Anytime a friend wants help, we're able to bless them. We may be at that stage. We may be seeing abundant fruit there. But then in healing, we may be battling sickness constantly. We may have chronic illnesses that attack us and we don't have the victory over. We may be in one of the other categories where we're not bearing the fruit we want. We determine that by the farm and the way we handle and manage our farm, so to speak, the garden of our heart. There, you know, especially with this, the thorns, that's something I, you know, like those thistles on that farm. That's something we can all relate to if you've ever had a garden, the weeds that come up, choked it. Luke 8. Yeah, you know, I call it distraction, desires, and doings, for lack of a better word. I didn't like actions because it messed up the alliteration. So I did distractions, desires, and doings. So we could, well, I just said it. You can write that. Distractions, desires, and doing. Distractions, desires, and doing. Yeah, well, cool. That's the only one I came up with there. All right, and let's see. Let's go to verse 14, too. Boy, that's a really jumpy pen. Fun. All right, verse 14 of Luke 8. Verse 14, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out. That's an interesting thing, too. Luke just puts a little twist on it. I wonder what he heard different than Matthew and Mark in that message. Because he puts a little bit different twist on these things. But are those who, when they have heard, so they hear, or I'll put in past tense, they heard, go out. It's like they go out and get choked. It sounds like a, you know, a murder mystery. They go out and are choked. Are choked. Are choked. They go out, they are choked with cares. Here we go. Are choked, colon, with cares, with riches. With riches. He's a little bit more blunt and concise in some ways, yet he adds some extra phrases. And pleasures of life. I think a lot of our American culture, we're pleasures of life, man. It's easy to play video games, to sit on your couch, to be entertained, to go to the latest show. And that stuff's great. I enjoy a good movie. I enjoy a lot of the movies that are out today. But I watch them with my kids. We take plenty of time on that. But I just wonder, you know, if there are some things we can lean up and cut back on and get into the Word. I don't see some of the great men of old that we've read about, the books like Apostles of Faith with Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and men like that. When they had illnesses, they went away until they got the answer. And then they had a solidity then that they carried forward and applied to other areas of their life. And they ultimately began to minister to others on a great, great level. And I think each of us has that potential. We may not be called to preach specifically their message, but to be ministers of reconciliation, to draw people to Christ, to draw people into this level of category 4, I think we are all called to in our own way. Okay, so pleasures of life. And what does he say? Bring no fruit to maturity. He just a little bit different twist. Bring no fruit. It's almost like they have fruit, but it can't grow. And that's what thorns do, you know. You could have tomatoes on that plant. Thorn comes up. A big bush grows alongside of it, blocks out its sun. Tomatoes love that sun. They can, you know, we used to throw them out by the back door. We called it, was kind of a grease pit. All the chicken leftovers scraped off a pan went back to this pit by my back door growing up as a kid. And tomatoes would grow there like weeds. It didn't take much soil for them to get in, and that's encouraging in a natural, if you apply that spiritually. It doesn't take a lot of dirt to get us going, but in that case, thorns didn't even have room. But a bush growing up, if we'd have thrown that next to a bush or a tree with lots of shade, it wouldn't have yielded that fruit. But they got a spot in the sun with plenty of fertilizer, and they took advantage of it. And we had tomatoes out of scraps, basically. All the tomato scraps that we threw out grew up there. just because it was rich with nutrition. Bring no fruit to maturity. All right. I think we have to close, right? I went long already. Okay. And if I get the chance, we'll continue. But this is a very easy thing to study. Like I said, for more light, Christ the Healer contains a lot in chapter 12. It's a rich teaching called You're God's Garden. I'm not going along the same vein he is. So if this is not your, you know, just know that there are other teachings out there that are very thorough on this as well. I'm going at it from a different angle. But that's categories 1 through 3. You can study that out. They're parallel, and glean what you can out of your condition and where you can go.